It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Knockout blow.
Yep, it happened, and it's still going.
That is a top story at noon. The East Coast digging out from a powerful nor'easter that's still making a mess of things in parts of our listening area. At least four deaths being blamed on the storm that dumped more than 30 inches of snow on parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
We are fully engaged.
Melissa Batchelor with PennDOT says it's all hands on deck and clearing the roads from the never-ending snow. The main concern this afternoon is northeastern Pennsylvania. Some communities there got buried in the white stuff.
We have mobilized teams from both the northwest and the southwest regions of the state to assist with the hardest hit areas.
Parts of the Poconos getting nearly 3 feet of snow. This plower says he can't keep up.
Almost as soon as we plow it, it's covered again. So we have to stay on top of it constantly.
Close to 2 feet of snow fell in New York City, where COVID vaccination clinics have been canceled for a second straight day. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
It's not safe out there, so vaccinations are canceled.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo ordered motorists off the roads during the storm, but then defended his decision to drive from Albany to New York City yesterday. Here's what the governor said.
I don't like to tell the snowplow drivers, you have to be out, and the police, you have to be out, but then I stay home. That's not who I am. It's not what I do. I'm not calling anyone into a situation that I wouldn't go into myself.
70 million Americans still under winter storm warnings this afternoon. Get the pen ready. Again, President Biden signing three more executive orders today, this time dealing with immigration. The administration rolling back the zero-tolerance policy put in place by former President Trump when it comes to illegals crossing our southern border.
We are open for illegal immigration.
Fox News host Pete Hegseth, Jamil Shaw, lost his son to an illegal immigrant. He says President Biden's policy at the border is pouring salt in his wound.
Our family members are in the cemetery. At the same time, he's rewarding illegal aliens with amnesty. You know, it's just not fair. It's not right. My son was murdered in 2008. There is no reason for Joe Biden to put our family members in bondage, and now they have to be grieving just so he can help out illegal aliens. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's just so unfair.
Pete Hegseth says there is now no incentive for folks to get into the country legally under a Biden administration.
President Trump talked about a big wall with a door in the middle of it where if you want to come here legally, you can get in line to do so. When you strip the wall away, or you try to defund ICE, or you pull back on your border enforcement, as the Biden administration is going to, there's no reason to come through the door. Get in as quick as you can, any way you can, because you won't be prosecuted when you get here.
Hegseth says it's open season at our southern border and Americans will end up paying for it. No deal. Republicans walking away from a meeting with President Biden last night without an agreement on COVID relief. Maine Republican Susan Collins.
It was a very good exchange of views. I wouldn't say that we came together on a package tonight. No one expected that in a two-hour meeting. But what we did agree to do is to follow up and talk further.
The GOP concerned with the nearly $2 trillion price tag on the Democratic plan. Instead, Republicans want to spend $600 billion in targeted relief. South Dakota Republican Mike Rounds.
We did not expect going in that we would make a deal. That's not what we went there for. We went there to express our interest in trying to find a path forward that would be good for the country long term.
The government has already spent over $6 trillion on COVID relief, including $900 billion in December that still hasn't been spent yet. Face masks now required on all buses, planes, trains, and public transportation hubs. This traveler says folks already doing that.
It's a regular thing. You rarely, if any time, see anybody not wearing a mask.
Under the new order by the CDC, folks who refuse to wear a mask in public transportation places would be breaking federal law.
I feel like it's protective, so that's fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think most people are doing it already, so it's not going to change a lot.
The executive order from President Biden aims to curb the spread of COVID-19. Still to come this Tuesday, the big dig underway in New York and PA. Police pepper spray in Rochester. And Phil, Dave, and Chuck all making their call.
Well, good afternoon to all the storm system that has delivered more than 2 feet of snow in parts of northeastern Pennsylvania continues to bring snow to our region. I'll be back with the very latest coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, February 2nd. They're digging out across much of our listening area this afternoon after a powerful nor'easter dumped more than 30 inches of snow on parts of Pennsylvania and the eastern Twin Tiers. And it's not over just yet.
Plan accordingly and be prepared in case conditions change rapidly to include potentially becoming stranded if roadways become impassable.
Randy Padfield at the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Office urging motorists in hard-hit areas to stay off the roads so the plows can do their job. And those plows have been doing their job ever since Sunday.
We're going to stay on it, hopefully, until this is done. Again, we can't really anticipate that, but we do have another crew coming in this evening at midnight just to make sure everything is cleaned off and clear.
Corey Fleif in charge of keeping the roads clear in central Pennsylvania. Winter storm warnings expire in most places by the end of today. Police officers involved in the pepper spraying of a 9-year-old girl in Rochester, New York last week have now been suspended. State Attorney General Tish James looking into it. Community activist, the Reverend Lewis Stewart.
Minors should not be handcuffed. That must be banned. Children must not be chemically sprayed.
Black Lives Matter protesters taking to the streets last night in Rochester demanding answers as to why a child was pepper sprayed by police.
We don't want the police to come on the scene and immediately treat them like they're animals, like they're criminals, like their lives don't matter.
But the local police union is defending the decision to pepper spray the child. President Mike Mazzeo says what took place last Friday was by the book.
Nothing that anyone can say they did that's inappropriate. I don't know who could do any better job.
The state lawmakers now calling for new rules that would ban the use of chemical irritants on minors. Democratic State Senator Samra Brout.
We have to remember who we're talking about here, right? This is a child. She's in elementary school.
The 9-year-old girl was taken to the hospital, then released to her family. Police say they pepper sprayed the child after she refused to get into the back of a patrol car after running away from home. We're learning more today about the deaths of three people following a snow shoveling dispute. Happened in the towns of Plains, Pennsylvania, Luzerne County. That crime has shocked the normally quiet community near Scranton.
No, it's a quiet street. We never really had any problems here.
It's an odd feeling for a place that's really quiet. Not much goes on here.
Cops say 47-year-old Jeff Spade shot and killed James and Lisa Goy in the street following an argument. Spade then killed himself in his home. The victims leave behind a 15-year-old autistic son who will be cared for by his grandmother. New York State Democrats are blocking a subpoena to get at nursing home records in the aftermath of last week's scathing AG report. That report says the Cuomo administration grossly undercounted the number of COVID deaths in nursing homes across the state.
Well, it's politics. And, you know, Governor Cuomo has long been known as quite a bully. So I think that a lot of it is that they're just afraid of him.
Governor Cuomo under fire for placing COVID-infected patients into nursing homes instead of hospitals last spring when the pandemic began. Carol Markowitz at the New York Post says Democrats who go against this governor go to their political graves.
He still enjoys quite a good approval rating, so they would be taking a chance if they opposed him. And these aren't politicians who take chances, and these aren't politicians who speak their minds or go out on a limb to do the right thing. They're part of a political system, and they're going to stay that way.
Last week, State Attorney General Tish James announced that the Cuomo administration undercounted the number of COVID deaths in nursing homes by as much as 50%. The state Supreme Court has delayed the results of New York's 22nd congressional race. Again, Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Yeah, the only congressional race in the country that's still in dispute from the 2020 election will remain in limbo a little longer. A state Supreme Court judge has blocked Oneida County from certifying its election results. Democratic incumbent Anthony Brindisi currently trails Republican challenger Claudia Tenney by 122 votes. That's out of more than 316,000 cast for the two candidates. The 22nd district encompasses 8 counties and includes cities like Rome, Cortland, and Binghamton. It's been without representation in Congress for over 90 days now. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Schools will stay open in Buffalo as a judge gets set to hear a case from a teachers' union on Friday to shut those schools down. BTF President Phil Remore says it's just not safe for schools to be open in the Queen City.
The teachers want to be back in school with their kids just as much as the parents and the kids want to be back in school, but we want to make sure it's safe for them.
Yesterday, kids returned to the classroom for the first time in nearly a year in Buffalo. Phil Remore says while he understands most parents and kids want to be back, it's just not safe right now.
Whether it's a grandparent, a parent, staff person, that they don't get the virus. Even if it's one person, that's one too many. And every teacher I've talked to said, I want to be back with my kids, but I want to make sure that it's safe for them, their families, and the staff here.
Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in Houghton, New York, says schools are some of the safest places for kids right now.
It's hard for me to understand why the unions are being as obstinate as they are. I mean, the feds gave $15 billion to schools to help them with protocols, and most schools have done what they could, but for whatever reason, the unions in the big cities are just putting up every roadblock, and I think it's a tragedy.
Pre-K through second grade and high school seniors started hybrid learning this week in Buffalo. Special needs students are in the classroom 5 days a week in the Queen City. Punxsutawney Phil making his call earlier today.
When I turn to see, there's a perfect shadow cast of me. 6 more weeks of winter there will be.
There you go. That was Phil this morning in Punxsutawney. Dunkirk Dave disagreeing with his furry friend, however. According to Dave, there's going to be an early spring this year. Staten Island Chuck also predicting an early spring. Sorry, Phil, you're outnumbered. Sunny time, your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, the Buccaneers and Chiefs formally kicking off Super Bowl week began with yesterday's Super Bowl opening night, but with a twist. The two teams spoke with reporters virtually from their home cities due to the pandemic. Ageless Bucs quarterback Tom Brady talked about his previous 6 Super Bowl victories with the Patriots and how much a 7th would mean at this stage of his career.
They've all meant something a little bit different to me. They've all been very unique in their own way, and it'd just be cool to accomplish it this time. I don't compare him to the other times. Those were all magical moments in my life.
The man's 43 old, by the way. Patrick Mahomes mentioned the difficulty that comes with trying to repeat as a Super Bowl champ.
Everybody can beat anybody any single week. There's not a lot of leagues, there's not a lot of divisions of football or anything like that that is like that.
The Bucs and Chiefs clash in Super Bowl 55 this Sunday at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, but 2 Chiefs players are on the COVID list ahead of the Super Bowl. Receiver DeMarcus Robinson and backup center Daniel Kilgore have been put on the list due to close contact. Both can still play Sunday with 5 consecutive days of negative tests. To the NHL, in New Jersey is hitting the pause on their season due to the league's COVID protocol. 4 additional players have been added to the team's absence list. All New Jersey games have been postponed until at least Saturday. In action, the Rangers beat the Penguins in the snow at Madison Square Garden 3-1. Rangers defenseman Adam Fox on the victory.
You know, like I said, it was another tight game, and you know, we were able to, you know, get over that hump that we haven't been able to, especially against this team. So good for the guys to be able to pull together and, you know, ball to win.
In the NBA, the Cavaliers edged the Timberwolves 100-98. The Knicks fall to doubles 110-102. In women's college basketball, number 1 Louisville is undefeated no longer, falling to number 4 North Carolina State 74-60. That leaves only 2 undefeated teams in all of women's college basketball, the 14-0 California Baptist Lancers and the 8-0 Bucknell Bison. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Daltier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, cleaning up from the storm, sitting down at the White House, and loving the community of North Charleston, South Carolina.
There's a few things that God promises. If you ask it, you'll get it. One of those things is wisdom. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The more 2021 resembles 2020, the more Christians must be grounded in those unchanging truths that are given us in Scripture, the ones that make sense of our and any cultural moment, that Christ is risen,
that Christ is Lord, that Christ will make all things new. Well, each Wednesday at 10:30 Eastern until Easter, the Colson Center is hosting a time of guided prayer. It's online with a particular focus on the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. As wisdom literature goes, which most religions offer, by the way, Proverbs just gets right to the point, shoots you right between the eyes. Each Wednesday's prayer time begins with prayer, it ends with prayer, and it's centered around how we can pray given the instruction of a particular proverb. For example, here's my good friend Sean McDowell, whose reflection on Proverbs 25:15 hit me right between the eyes.
One of the proverbs that just jumped out to me that's really probably about the past year, year and a half, is in Proverbs 25:15. And the ESV says, "With patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." Now, what I love about this is not an isolated proverb. There are themes throughout the scripture about kindness, about tenderness, about patience. And it seems to me we've lost some of those lessons today in the church where we, rather than are being patient, we are quick to anger. So I think this proverb represents a way in a small step of showing grace to people in the church and outside of the church that, frankly, today people don't expect. It catches them off guard. So here's a couple insights about this proverb. This proverb reminds us that some change only takes place with patience. And we should be thinking more about the long term than how do we fix this by tomorrow or maybe even next year or maybe even 5 years. The second thing that it says, so not only is it long, but it's long suffering, meaning that the process can be painful to see change take place. This is certainly true for athletes, but it's true spiritually. Now, not only talks about patience, but it says a ruler, and I love about this. So you think about a ruler, obviously they were thinking more of a king or more of maybe the nobles in that day. But a ruler today is really anybody with authority over us. Those in the government, maybe those in the university system, maybe those in Hollywood. These people, in a sense, rule our culture. Let's have a patient, long-term perspective. And then it says they may be persuaded. I don't know about you, but I look at certain leaders and I'm tempted to think they're beyond hope. They can't be saved. They're gone. And I start thinking this is such a human perspective. This passage says rulers can be persuaded. That's a good reminder.
That was Sean McDowell leading a time of guided prayer with a reflection on Proverbs 25:15. To see the entire devotional that Sean gave, come to breakpoint.org/proverbs. That's breakpoint.org/proverbs. And while you're there, you can register to join us each and every Wednesday from now until Easter. Again, come to breakpoint.org/proverbs to register. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
The big dig underway, Kevin Williams.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. What a doozy of a storm it has been for those of you in parts of eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York. At last check in Luzerne County, Penn Lake Park was in that 2-foot range. In Wayne County, near Angels in Pennsylvania, over 2 feet of snow. And we're not quite through yet. Through the afternoon, snow several more inches in parts of central New York, the eastern Finger Lakes, and far northeast Pennsylvania. Much lighter and lesser amounts south and west across the remainder of the area. And that all will be tapering tonight. But there'll still be some blowing snow to deal with. A high today in the 20s, little change in temperature tonight. Tomorrow, just a few flurries and some mixed sun near 30. Partly sunny in the 30s on Thursday.
All righty, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, February 2nd, authorities say 2 FBI agents were killed this morning. 3 others hurt while trying to serve a search warrant. Happened at a home in Sunrise, Florida. Authorities say it was a child pornography case. The suspect also dead. The Northeast continues to dig out from a powerful nor'easter that dumped buckets of snow on Philly, New York City, and Boston. This New Yorker says trying to get anywhere, it's tough.
It's the plodding through the snow. It takes forever. You can't You can't walk fast. You can't beat feet. You have to just take your time and pick your spots.
Close to 2 feet of snow fell on the Big Apple. Nearly 3 feet fell in parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey, where Governor Phil Murphy urging motorists to stay off the roads as best they can.
I would just say a huge request for folks in Jersey to continue to stay off the roads. This is a big one, and we need the roads to be as clear as possible.
At least 4 deaths being blamed on the storm. Hundreds of flights have been canceled up and down the East Coast. President Biden picking up where he left off last week, signing some more executive orders today, this time dealing with immigration, 3 of them. Louisiana Republican Steve Scalise says this president is putting illegals ahead of other Americans, and he's doing it in the middle of a pandemic.
He's saying that people who came here illegally can jump ahead of other Americans who have been waiting to get the vaccine. Clearly, not everybody who wants to get it has been able to get that vaccine. And now President Biden's going to allow people who come here illegally to get the vaccine before some Americans who have been waiting for months.
The president, meantime, sitting down with 10 Republicans yesterday as tens of millions of Americans face financial hardship from COVID lockdowns. As expected, no deal was reached.
I wouldn't say that we came together on a package. No one expected that in a 2-hour meeting.
The two sides still miles apart on a price tag for a stimulus bill. Democrats close to $2 trillion. Republicans just over $600 billion.
I can tell you that there was not an agreement reached. We didn't expect there to be an agreement reached that our plan would be adopted or rejected on the spot.
Utah Republican Mitt Romney. Democrats say they're ready to push through a new COVID relief bill with or without GOP support. A new poll shows more than 50% of Americans plan to delay or refuse the COVID-19 vaccine.
We need it to be 80%, 90%, because we have to stamp out these new variants that are emerging because there's too much virus around, and the only way to do that is with vaccination.
Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel blames the lackluster support on social media trolls who are spreading misinformation.
Someone like Tiffany Dover, who was a nurse in Tennessee and fainted after getting the COVID-19 shot. Fainted? A lot of people faint when I draw their blood. They get better in 10, 15 seconds. But, you know, the troll said that she had passed away. It turned out she was back to work. And they miscast it. It was fraudulent. It was false news. And that kind of thing stokes the flames. In reality, what you need to worry about is COVID-19.
Dr. Siegel says the medical miracle of getting this vaccine on the market in record time is going to waste because not enough Americans are getting the shot. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham warning Democrats not to call any witnesses at former President Trump's impeachment trial next week.
If there's an effort by the Democrats to call a single witness in the United States Senate, there will be a Pandora's box being opened. We will want witnesses, and this thing will go on for weeks, if not months.
The former president is accused of inciting an insurrection in advance of last month's riots at the Capitol. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez told more than 100,000 Instagram viewers last night that she's a survivor of sexual assault. The 31-year-old Democrat says her ordeal during the riots at the Capitol last month reopened that painful wound.
These are the same tactics of abusers. And I'm a survivor of sexual assault. And I haven't told many people that in my life.
Ocasio-Cortez says she hid in the bathroom of her congressional office, fearing for her life during the riots until a police officer rescued her. She says even then she wasn't sure if he was there to help or harm her. Twitter has censored Focus on the Family for a comment about a Biden administration official who's transgender.
I said President-elect Joe Biden announced that he has chosen Dr. Levine to serve as Assistant Secretary for Health of the Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Levine is a transgender woman. That is a man who believes he is a woman.
Zach Mettler is the man who posted that tweet.
For stating the biological truth of Dr. Levine's biology, Twitter classified this as hate speech.
Focus on the Family now calling on Christians to stand up to the cancel culture and to speak the truth in love. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition on Family Life. Welcome. welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Nigel Butler from Fairport, New York. He's the creator of a new sitcom streaming on Amazon, a humorous look at life in the local church. It's called Problems Higher Up. And I was watching some of the episodes, and I got kind of the Office vibe from watching it. And I don't know if you're familiar with that show at all, but it's my favorite show on TV, or was when it was on. Now, was that kind of what you guys were going after when you made this?
Well, I mean, I was very inspired by The Office and by the Andy Griffith Show, actually, the kind of dynamic between the characters there. So, yeah, I would say The Office did have a lot of inspiration. Especially for us when we were actually on set there in the office of the church, you know?
So it's streaming on Amazon right now if folks want to check it out. But like I said, it's called Problems Higher Up, a sitcom. What is it? What was the aim behind it? And why did you guys make it, Nigel?
People always tell you, write about what you know. And I'd always wanted to do sitcoms. And I've been in the church my whole life, and I knew how people are there, you know, the good sides and the bad sides. Not like we're dragging any dirty laundry out or anything, but what people don't understand or look at a lot in the church is that it is an office setting, and sometimes, you know, there are very real relationships within that, and there also aren't a lot of, you know, clean family TV shows out there. So we really took all those inspirations and just put it together into one show.
Yeah. So what did you learn about the local church in making this sitcom?
Well, I think that this sitcom itself is really just a collection of what I've learned from the local church. You know, it's all thrown into episodes. A lot of these stories were based on, you know, somewhat true stories or real events, you know what I mean, or jokes that we've told. And so, you know, it's really the exact opposite of that. It's kind of me and all my church-going experience kind of put into these episodes.
Yeah, I know there's lots of material you could use when it comes to talking about kind of behind-the-scenes stuff with the local church. Why did you choose the stuff that you went after?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just I thought they were funny true stories or funny kind of stories that we've talked about. Or honestly, a lot of the times it was also just, what would this character do in this situation, and why do we have this happen, you know? And a lot of that is what came to eventually mold the stories, you know? I don't know if you realize, but, you know, in especially the second and third episode, there are some subplots there that are, you know, completely off course from the rest of the story, but that's because I wanted to get as much story time as I could into the 22-minute time block.
Yeah. We're speaking with Nigel Butler, and he is the creator of the new sitcom that's streaming right now on Amazon. It's called Problems Higher Up. And what's your favorite scene and why?
Honestly, they're working with my dad was a lot of fun. He played Stan, the elder there at the church, and it's just a lot of fun. It's kind of, you know, not necessarily what the scene included, but just working with my dad on the set and watching it now, it always brings a smile to my face. It was a good time. You know, it was just a great, great time filming and a great time watching.
Yeah. And tell us about the rest of the cast and the crew there. Who are they, and why did you pick them for the show?
So as far as the crew goes, that's really huge, huge shout out to my brother, Stuart, who ran camera, audio, everything behind the scenes. If I wasn't on camera, I would help out a little bit with that, but most of the time it was just him. As far as the cast goes, they're all wonderful people who, you know, enjoy acting or agree to do this voluntarily and just really dedicated a ton of time into this show. And, you know, we couldn't have done it without any of them, so thank you very much to them. You know, it's just a huge group effort.
And once again, folks, this is streaming on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out. Three episodes. Can we expect more stuff?
Well, you know, time will tell. We definitely have a lot more content. I know that the backing is there behind the scenes. Everyone who worked on this series season here wants to do more. But it's really, you know, how many people who are watching it want more. And if it's meant to happen, it'll happen.
That's Nigel Butler from Fairport, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home. your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. What a doozy of a storm it has been. Parts of eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York at last check in Luzerne County. Penn Lake Park was in that 2-foot range in Wayne County near Angels in Pennsylvania. Over 2 feet of snow. And we're not quite through yet. Through the afternoon, snow several more inches in parts of central New York, the eastern Finger Lakes, and far northeast Pennsylvania. Much lighter and lesser amounts south and west across the remainder of the area. And that all will be tapering tonight. But there'll still be some blowing snow to deal with. The high today in the 20s, little change in temperature tonight. Tomorrow, just a few flurries and some mixed sun near 30. Partly sunny in the 30s on Thursday.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, finally at noontime from South Carolina. A man who goes above and beyond the call of duty. By day, Henry Darby is the principal at North Charleston High School. By night, he's a Walmart employee stocking shelves to help kids in need in his school. Every penny of every paycheck Darby earns goes to kids who live in poverty. Henry Darby was recently recognized for his efforts by the NBC Today Show.
First question, Principal Darby, when do you sleep?
I find some sleep on Saturdays and Sundays.
But during the week?
I try to sneak in 2 hours during the day.
Darby's endurance, almost superhuman. His humility, extraordinary. Even the Walmart manager didn't know he was a high school principal when she found out Walmart gifted Darby's school with a check.
Oh.
What does it say?
It says, paid to the order of North Charleston High School, $50,000.
How about that? 90% of the student body at North Charleston High lives below the poverty level. Says Principal Darby, one person might not change the world, but they might change the world for one person. And that is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.